the DNA markers, what we're just calling the DNA markers. You know, for those of you who maybe showed up to high school to socialize and play sport more than to study, I'll just give you a quick background. So DNA is basically that which gives us our physical characteristics. It's the deep cellular expression of who we are to the world around us. Yeah, and some of you are like, oh, okay, yeah, there you go. Hey, left with learning something today. So the things that we look at as sort of the DNA markers, those key identifiers to who we are as a people in Christ, is the Word of God, putting a high priority upon the Word of God. But at the same time, we're people who believe worship is not just singing songs to the Lord, but inviting and entering into His presence and allowing it to minister among us. We're people who believe in witnessing and who believe in being examples of Christ and the salvation that is available to us to the community around us. Amen? We believe in withness. We believe in fellowship. We believe that there is to be a unity, not only of people in the community, but between nations and ethnicities. That we are to go out and to seek people who have a different perspective than us and find out how God is being reflected in them. We believe in prophecy, that as was so eloquently spoken of last week by Leonie, that Amos chapter 3, verse 7, that God does nothing without revealing it first to his prophets. And today, Barbara's going to come and talk about prayer. So I just want to reiterate that I believe prophecy is just so important to the body of Christ. And Leonie just did a fantastic job in just putting together a one sheet, a reminder, if it's something that you want to just look at and make sure that you're continually reiterating in your heart and seeking. Guys, do you understand that these gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about healing next week. Amen. And there's some people who have been going deep on that lately. Praise God. I thank them for their boldness. But at the end of the day, you have to pursue these things. Everybody tracking on that? It says, pursue earnestly these things. It doesn't say sort of lackadaisically walk toward. Are you with me? I just want to make sure that we understand what the scriptures say. Because some of us are like, you know, I'm not violently opposed to the idea of people being healed. If God wants to do it, he's God. If he just wants to sort of, you know, make me go and heal people, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord, I'm open to that. But no, that's not how it works. We don't have a passive pursuit. We are to earnestly desire. And one of the ways we find out the heart of God is not only through prophecy, but through actively praying. So this morning, Barbara's going to come as one of our kuya, our elders. Come on, Bart, you got to lean into it. Lean into it. Lean into it.
Well. It's all about me. Prayer. What a huge subject, I thought. Prayer. There's prayer warriors, there's intercessors, there's watchmen, there's praying in the spirit, there's praying with understanding, there's warfare. Where do you even begin? And God says, at the beginning, like he always says, at the beginning. And one of my daughters said, I bet you'll start negative and end positive. And I go, better than the other way around, don't you think? because... You know, just sometimes you think, gosh, is he even listening? Is he even answering the prayers? But I want to tell you today, he answers every prayer. Every prayer. You might be, because you're prophetic, you might be praying the breaking up the fallow ground prayer. You might be praying the sowing the seed prayer. You might be praying the watering the seed prayer. Or you might be praying the reaping prayer. And the reapers believe they did it all. Because they prayed and wow, miracles happened. But God had ordained it way before. And he had people praying. If you're a Christian here today, you're here because somebody prayed for you. And that's what prayer is all about. And I think prayer is the most important thing in a Christian's life. The most important thing. That's my opinion. But because out of that comes all the rest. Knowing your word, prophecy, gifts, ministry, it all comes out of your relationship with God. Now, so he said, just go at the beginning. What is a prayer for the Christian? This is the most important thing for us as Christians. All religions pray. And out of them all, I would have to say Christians are the least diligent. You can get Satanists, witches, warlocks, Buddhists praying fervently. They will stop. They even ask the employers, can they have a prayer room? They need to stop three times a day to pray. If a Christian went and said that, you'd go down the road. But we wouldn't even say that. You know, we think, oh, that's between me and God. But out of all the religions, the least diligent are the Christians. Prayer meetings in most churches are the least attended. You can go to any church. It wasn't always like that. And I don't know what's happened. When we were legalists, we were right there. The hour that changed the world. You went in, you had 5 minutes thanksgiving, five minutes praise, 5 minutes worship. You read the word, you waited on God, you listened, you prayed. It took an hour. And it did change the world. People were different. But we did it religiously, legalistically, because we didn't want to disobey God. We wanted to do what he was telling us to. And then grace came. Oh, it's all good. God understands. I'm tired tonight. Oh, I'm going to go in prayer. And you just start, Father. And next minute you're asleep and you wake up. Where was I, Lord? Sorry. Where were we at? You know, it's just, I don't know. God is calling us back to this most important thing for our Christian walk. You always make time for what is important to you. And most Christians, I'm afraid to say, think prayer isn't that important. They think God's got it. He'll do it. But it is the most important thing for your Christian walk. Out of prayer, like I just said, comes everything else. Psalm 127. Unless God builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. If you aren't going to him to tell you where to go, what to do, what to say, you're just wasting your time. Because he blesses that which he initiates. He equips you for that which he calls you to do. So go to him first. Ask him, what am I supposed to be doing? Where do you want me? And he will tell you. And he will set you in your place. If you put God first, he will put everything else in order, the right order. Your ministry, your family, your work. Sometimes we get caught up in our work and we put it before the family. Next minute, we have a broken marriage. Sometimes we get caught up in our ministry. We put it before God, then we're burnt out. You know, God first, and let him lead you to all the rest. And prayer for the Christian is communing with God. It's not just talking to him. It's not just talking at him. It's communing with God. And commune means to speak intimately, be in close touch with, sharing your thoughts, fellowshipping. And prayer is connecting with God through his son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. We pray to God through the son, by the Holy Spirit. No other religion has this. They don't pray through the son. So whoever they're praying through or to, it's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, the way to him is through Jesus Christ. He said, no man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to God. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you happen to access your God without Jesus, it's not the God of the Bible. Now, this is the type of prayer they had in the very beginning. Adam and Eve. Or Adam, you know, he just hung out with God. They shared their thoughts. God shared with him. He told Adam, tend the garden. Eat freely from every tree except you know which one. He made all the animals. And he said, come Adam, name them. Can you imagine just hanging out with God? Name all the animals, Adam. And he did. Doesn't that sound like a friend? Friends? Within that relationship, God said, it's not good for Adam to be by himself. So he gave him Eve. And what did they talk to God about? Rowdy neighbors? Don't think so. Nasty workmates? Saving souls? No. Ministry? No. Offenses? Sin? No. Didn't exist. They hung out with God. They got to know him. He imparted some of himself to them, and they shared their hearts with him. Yet, even in that idyllic place, the enemy got in, and he spoke to the woman. Not the man whom God had given the job description to, the rules as it were. He spoke to the woman and caused doubt in her mind and caused desire for this forbidden fruit. And you know what? It's really hard to stand on a word God has given to someone else. You have to have your own word from God to be able to stand strong and do what he tells you to do, which resulted in they ate of the tree. But what Eve should have done was gone to her husband and said, hey, the serpent says this. What do you think about this? He, having the word, would have said no. Or then they would have said, well, let's go and ask God. And God would have told them, I do these things for your own good. You do not know what's up ahead, so it's no. But they didn't. And they ate. So, we know what happened after that. We get ourselves into all kinds of trouble when we take hold of things God didn't intend for us to have. Or we do things God didn't intend for us to do. And Satan comes as an angel of light to draw us into those things God doesn't intend for us. So, after that, things and prayer changed because sin had come into the world. So by Genesis 6:6, God said, in Genesis 6, he was sorry he'd made man. Isn't that sad? He was sorry he'd made man because their hearts were toward evil continually. But he had a plan. Jesus was the plan. But that was the world we were born into. The world of sin with all these other things, violence, sickness and all that kind of thing. That's the world we were born into. And so our prayer, our first prayer, after God has prepared us for salvation, sent someone to share Jesus, or our parents have taken us to church week after week, it suddenly becomes real and personal. So our first prayer is, Father, forgive me of the sin of rebellion and living for myself. Rebelling against your word and living for myself, which was the sin of Eden. And you say, I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior and acknowledge I am now reconciled to God, bought with a price, and we're brought back into fellowship and made righteous in him. Romans 5:19. through one man's disobedience, sin, we were all made sinners. But through one man's obedience, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. If we come to him, we are made righteous in him. Isn't that fantastic news? So we've come into this new relationship and we're learning how to pray. And usually our prayers are self-centered. Not in necessarily a bad way. We're discovering ourselves and God. And he knows and accepts that we're newly born again babies. And babies, it's all about me. Wah, need a feed. Wah, need a cuddle. You know, until we begin to grow up. There was a Sunday school song the kids used to sing. Read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible and don't pray every day. Carries on. You will shrink, shrink, shrink. True story. But a prayer, communing with God, is to our spirit what food is to our body. Don't feed it, it will shrivel up and die. Usually, when we backslide or we get involved in things we shouldn't, you can trace it back to our prayer life, that it's lacking or even non-existent. God wants us, wants to meet with us, hang out, share his heart. You know, like that hour that changed the world. Spend time with him. If you don't know what to say, just sit there. Start singing songs. It's all about Jesus. It's all, do that. He can't help but come and meet you. He says, it's my daughter. That's my son. And I love him. And he will meet with you. Don't think that he's not listening. He is. Just sit there and worship. And he will meet with you. Our Father, it's in that place that we discover who he is, what he's like, what he's capable of, that he is omnipotent, which is all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He's omnipresent, like we said before, everywhere at once. Doesn't that blow your mind? He can be everywhere at once. The only way I could really understand it was the internet. I can be in New Zealand talking to someone in Hong Kong. It just straight away, right there. That's how God is. He's able to be in Timbuktu and with you here today. So, we learn that he is willing and able to meet every need that we have. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, every need. And he can turn crisis into good. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. He can turn what Satan would use to destroy, he can turn it for good. That's our God. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Quite often you hear people going, I'm going to do this because he gives me the desires of my heart. No. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like you, Owen, delighting yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desire to be a soldier. And you're going in the power of his might because he put that desire within you. And when we pray, it's real. It's powerful. When we pray for Owen this morning, it is God speaking to him. You take all those prayers into your heart, Owen, because it was God speaking to you and preparing your way. He's gone before you anyway. He prepares the way. When life throws you lemons, we've heard this, God turns them to lemonade. Yay. And he changes our heart. While we're in that time with him, he changes our heart from being worldly, from being conformed to the world, to being conformed to God, to have our minds renewed and live by his word. like Smith Wigglesworth. I'm sure you, most of you would have heard Smith Wigglesworth. He started his ministry late, 50s, I think. But he didn't do anything without feeding his spirit first. Before he ate, he read his word and he prayed. So that was at least 3 times a day. It was me, 10 times a day. But anyway, he got to the place where he would go on a train. People would hop in and go alongside him. And they'd go and kneel in front of him and say, "How? What must I do to be saved?" He had such a power of God emanating from him. It drew people and they wanted what he had. So, God has given us the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And he teaches us what the word. He teaches us what Jesus taught us. He reminds us of what Jesus said. He leads us in prayer. He gives us the prayers from the throne room. We're now heading to that place where Jesus lived in, doing only what we see the Father doing, speaking only what we hear the Father speaking, doing only what we hear the Father telling us to do. Like I said before, Psalm 127, unless God builds the house, you labor in vain. And like Leonie said last week, God wants to partner with us. He limits himself to partner with us. This quotes, you know, if we were God, no way would we trust one of us. But he does. He limits himself. So though God doesn't need us to exist because he's self-existent, self-sufficient, self-sustaining, he decided to partner, cooperate with us. Like back in Genesis, God made the animals, but Adam was given the job of naming them. God's part was the part that Adam couldn't do, the supernatural part. And so, like with us, he partners with us. He does the supernatural, we do the rest, like pray it or whatever. Mary partnered with God in the birth of Jesus. God's part was to place the baby in the womb by the Holy Spirit. Mary's part was, "Be it unto me as your word declares." When we pray, and this is, if you believe this, it will change your life. When we pray, he sends his angels to accomplish what we're praying for. The prayers come from him, we're sent it back to him, he dispatches the angels. 2 Kings 19 is about Hezekiah and the Assyrians were coming against him. And they are saying to him, "Don't trust in your God. Your God can't save you. I've dealt with all those nations around before you. You are dead meat." But Hezekiah prayed. And he prayed to the God he trusts in. And God said to him, "Because you prayed, I will send my angel to destroy the enemy." And he did. And Daniel prayed. Soon as Daniel prayed, the angel was dispatched straight away to bring about the answer. But it took a bit of time. The enemy got in the way, trying to stop the angels getting there to answer Daniel's prayer. But God sent Michael, and they got through. God will move heaven and earth to answer your prayer. Because why? He loves us. Isn't that amazing? There was a book I read years ago called This Present Darkness. And what I got out of it was the power of prayer. And when you prayed, God would send the angels and they'll deal with this and deal with it. It may look chaotic, but the plan was unfolding, eh? And he would send the angels. And there was one part where he said, "No, we can't go yet. We haven't got enough prayer cover." And I started to think, I mean, I might not be able to point it in the Bible, but I started to think, prayer is important. When you pray, God is able to send the angels to do what he wants to accomplish. So, if nothing else, remember, prayer is important. And if we do and make decisions God hasn't told us to do or make, then there are consequences. When you bowl ahead without asking God, there's enough biblical examples to show what happened. Kings lost battles. David got his senses and he had to pay the price. And quite often, the census thing with David, it seemed like they weren't his people to count. They were God's. So he should have asked him first. And he had to choose through three of those punishments. And they were all hard. I wouldn't have known what to do, but he chose to put himself in the hands of God. So go into your closet. If you don't know what to do, like I said before, just sing. Just sing. You know, when I was a new Christian, I didn't know all the Bible. We had scripture and song. And so I went in there and I would sing. And the Lord would answer me from those scripture and song because it was the word of God. And so I was able to hear from him and get to know him. He knows what you want to say anyway before you even open your mouth. We'll save ourselves a lot of heartache and burnout if we ask God first. Answer is not always immediate, like I said, because, you know, it can be frustrating. We live in an instant world and we want everything just like that, but it may not always be instant. And it may not even be the way we expect it, but it's always answered, like I said earlier. Reaping, sowing, watering. So there's scriptures that say, call unto me and I will answer thee. Before you call, I will answer you. That's Isaiah. As we believe, we live. We may be saying something with our mouth and saying something else in our heart. And God hears our heart. And so we might not get what we're praying about because we don't believe it. Mark 6:5. He could do no mighty work there except heal a few people because of their unbelief. Jesus limited himself with his unlimited power to their faith. He was well able to do everything there. He could have changed them all. He could have healed them. Well, he healed some, but he didn't. He limited his unlimited power to their faith. Are we limiting him with our unbelief? If we truly believe, prayer works. God brings results. He will do it. And like I said, prophetic prayers are often future, so the results aren't immediate. God drops it into your spirit. We pray it back to him. He dispatches the angels. Partnering in prayer. There's no down pat method. Can't pray for Bob what you prayed for Bill last week, because God is an individual God. He wants you to seek him and pray what he wants for that person. Because if you get into a pattern, which I did kind of, I used to never was sick, rebuke the sickness, rebuke the pain, get on with it. And it worked for a long time. Then suddenly it didn't. Uh-oh, what's going on here? And it was just the Lord saying, you cannot get into a pattern because you stop relying on me. You've got to be dependent on me, and I will do what I will do. I didn't heal all blind eyes the same. I spat in the dirt and stuck mud on some people. You know, he did different things for different people. So it's all about your relationship with God. Everything comes out of our relationship with God. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And that's it.
That's some deep water, Barbara. That is some deep water. Very good. Two things that just sort of jumped to my mind in just sort of reiterating what one of our elders here, Barbara, had said is, one is relationship. I love that. I even talked about, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden. It's like, well, what are they? They didn't have loud neighbors to complain about. You know, they didn't have dodgy coworkers or, you know, sin or fallen societies. They just fellowship with God. And that's just one of those things that God desires for us. If you're saying, well, I'm not really a prayer. I remember I was really convicted because I sort of came up in that hour of power type season. And I was not the hour of power prayer, okay? And I remember my wife said to me, she said, well, Scott, how often do you talk to God throughout the day? And I said, well, almost constantly, you know, like, Lord, get a load of that idiot, you know, or what? And, you know, I've grown since then a little. But it's like God just wants relationship with us. Amen. And the other thing that Barbara had mentioned, I forget. So that was it. It was something I was going to add because it wasn't something you had mentioned. I had three things that I was praying this year at the beginning, like over Christmas and into the beginning of this year. And they were very important to me. Do any of you guys have those things? But I don't think they were very important to God and society in general. Or do you get what I'm saying? God answered each one. And I'll admit they were looking a little bit like, I don't know how you're going to do this, God. You know? And it was like, each one of them got answered within about a month. Like in a way that really blessed me, where it's like God was saying, he wants to be involved in the minutia, the little things in my life. So here's what we're going to do today. We've been trying to sort of activate these things this week, you know, and in these weeks that we've gone over these things. So healing next week. Woo! Get ready. I'm wondering if I got anything that needs a little tweaking. I might. But this week, what we want to do is I think we're just going to go into a little bit of worship. Now, here's the deal. If you need to get on with your day, God bless you, okay? Go hard. Have a fantastic day. Thank you for joining with us and fellowshipping with us. There's going to be a few folks out at Boys Beach. We're just going to keep that casual. If you've been saving that cold chicken or whatever that you have to go to the beach, you know, get out there. I know there's a couple other things going on. We as a family are going to hang out just with my mother-in-law and with Owen. So if you know, get out to the beach together, Boys Beach, maybe just chat, find out where people are going, what people are doing. If you want to get out to lunch with someone, remember, we're trying to take advantage of this and fellowship a little bit during this time. But to activate this, here's what I'd like you to do. We have an amazing elite prayer team. There's a group of folks that get together, sort of coordinated and led by Barbara, and there's a few just generals in there. And what I'd like you to do is if you have, for one, you can go to Barbara if you just need just a specific, we're not so much looking for the prophetic word today. It's just if you need that specific, I need you to pray for this. But if you want to write down your prayer request, okay, legibly. I know we have a few doctors in the fellowship now, okay, legibly. If you want to, otherwise you're just going to speak in tongues over it, okay? So if you want to write down your prayer request and then give it to Barbara, they're going to pray over those this week at our prayer meeting. 6:30 Wednesdays here at Ascend Church. If you want to come along to the prayer meeting and join with those generals, just have that command over the field, get in with them. But that's what we're going to do today. So if you've got to get on with your day, God bless you. Boys Beach, a few other things going on. But we're going to worship if you want to just sit and enjoy the atmosphere. We're going to get back to our shared lunch in a couple weeks. But for now, I just, if you want to write down a prayer request for Barbara, let's pray. Let's just see what God will do. Guys, I am so encouraged in prayer this year. And it's been a hard few years for us. But there's a couple things that the Lord just said, Scott, I care. And I'm going to reach my hand in and affect that situation for the kingdom. So, Father God, we thank you that you love us. And we could stop right there, Lord. But we also get to thank you that you guide us. We get to thank you that you care for us. We get to thank you that you direct us. We get to thank you that you like us, Father God. And we just ask that you would be with us. Put those things on our heart that you want to see touched, Father. That we would, as Barbara said, just partner with you this week. You put it in our hearts, and then we'll watch you do it. and we'll rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Keep to knock home.